Well, the kids told their mother that she wasn't to lift a finger on Mother's Day. They were going to do all the cooking. So they got out 3 pots, 2 frying pans, a double boiler, 3 mixing bowls, a chopping board, 6 measuring spoons, 8 serving dishes, and Mom was delighted. She said it was the best Jell-O she ever tasted. Well, the sermon this morning should not only be an encouragement to mothers that may be struggling for some reason, but it should be a word of encouragement for all of us who at times need to overcome the challenges of life. So today I invite us to again open the Bible to 1 John, where we have been at, or where I have been at in my preaching of late. And we open the Bible today to 1 John chapter 5, where we're going to be looking at verses 4 and 5, and I've entitled the message, Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. So here we are. 1 John 5, verse 4, For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. For whatever is, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So, have you been born of God? Born of the Spirit? Born from above? Born anew? Born again? Have you put your faith in Jesus, trusting him as Savior and Lord? If so, this scripture that we're looking at today should really grip you. Why? Because it points out that you can be an overcomer. It points out that you, too, can be victorious. You know, we long to live in a world that is characterized by a Currier and Ives postcard, or a Norman Rockwell wall calendar, or a Kincaid painting. But unfortunately, that isn't reality. We live in a world that in many ways is quite the opposite. There are dangerous toils and snares, to use the phrase that we find in one of those stanzas of Amazing Grace. Through many dangerous toils and snares I have already come, 'tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me safely home. What then does it mean to be an overcomer or to live in victory? Well, a writer in the Beacon Bible Commentary put it like this: to overcome the world means to be victorious in one's own life over all that makes the world what it is in its opposition to God. Let me repeat that. To overcome the world means to be victorious in one's own life over all that makes the world what it is in its opposition to God. Now, our text makes it absolutely clear that to be an overcomer, one doesn't try to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. That's not where it's at. But rather, it is one who puts their faith and their trust in Jesus. If you want a bottom line takeaway from the sermon this morning, it's this: Jesus has overcome the world. You and I overcome the world by our faith in Jesus. What I would like to do this morning is to think about victory in Jesus in 4 specific areas. I'm going to be talking about victory over death, victory over Satan, victory over sin, and victory over obstacles. So first of all, let's think about victory over death. And to do so, I'm going to turn to what is sometimes referred to as the resurrection chapter in the Bible. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and no, we won't be looking at all of it. But in this particular chapter, the Apostle Paul was pointing out the significance of Jesus having been risen from the dead. And he wanted those in the church at Corinth to realize that the resurrection was not just a stuffy doctrine or theological jargon. But rather, the resurrection had and has exciting and life-changing ramifications for believers in Jesus. And so I'd like you to notice what is said in verses 50 to 58, 1 Corinthians 15. But now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. But I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That Sunday after Easter, when Diane and I were not here, we were actually in Archbold, Ohio, at Central Mennonite Church. And the service that morning, they had seven young people who gave their testimony of faith in Jesus and then were baptized with water upon their confession of faith. And those young people had entered the victory, you see, that Christ had won for them, and they no longer need to fear death, because death was swallowed up by triumphant life, as the MSG puts it. Think about it, being swallowed up by triumphant life. Not only were those young people given victory over death when they turned to Jesus, guess what? Along with that came meaning and purpose in life, for this life. They have the opportunity now to abound in the work of the Lord, realizing that whatever they do for Christ is not going to be in vain. They have the opportunity to serve the one who gave them the victory and to find joy in doing so. Yes, there is joy and satisfaction in serving the Lord. One does not know the real meaning of inner satisfaction and fulfillment until one is at that point of serving the Lord. Have you come to the place where you can say with the Apostle Paul, thanks be to God who gave or gives me the victory through my Lord Jesus Christ? If not, why don't you turn to him today and enter into all that he has made available for you? Victory in Jesus. Victory over death. Secondly, let's think about victory over Satan. Sometimes we are oblivious, I think, to what all is going on in the spirit world. But the fact of the matter is that human beings have an enemy that is sneaky and tries his best to sabotage what God is wanting to do, what the Lord is wanting to bring about, what he is wanting to accomplish in our lives and through us. The Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now, I don't know, have you ever felt sort of alone? Perhaps you've thought that no one has ever experienced the temptations or the struggles or the kind of skirmishes that you seemingly deal with or go through. If so, Please know that you are not the first person to be dealing with those kind of things, nor are you going to be the last person to do so. Peter said the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In other words, there are other people, yes, there are other believers who have and are dealing with some of the very same things that you are dealing with or that you are struggling with. They're confronted with some of the very same challenges that come your way. Now, having said that, what we need to realize is that it's possible to overcome. It's possible to live in victory. Peter, in talking about the schemes of the devil, said, resist him steadfast in the what? Faith. And that's essentially what John was talking about as he wrote what is our text this morning. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. How would you describe a person that lives in victory over the devil? Well, this is how John describes some folks in 1 John 2:14. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. Those people that John was referring to had a living faith in a living Lord. They were abiding in Christ, and the word of God was making a difference. They were strong in the Lord. And we need to realize, and the sooner we get there, the better off we are. We need to realize that we can't fight spiritual battles in our own strength. But at the same time, we need to realize that as people that have been born of the Spirit, we have some incredible things available. Notice carefully what is said in 1 John 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That's the basis of that song we were singing about just a little bit ago. Greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that is in us. Yeah. You and I can live in victory over Satan because the one who lives, who resides within us, is far greater. The Spirit of God is far stronger, far greater than the evil one. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So, victory over death, victory over Satan. Thirdly, let's think about victory over sin. Isn't it true sometimes we just sort of shake our heads and we wonder, what next? There seems to be so much craziness going on in the world around us. And why all this craziness? Why is there so much hatred and violence? And why is there so much greed and jockeying for power? And why is there so much deceit and cover-up? And why is there so much unfaithfulness and marital infidelity? And why are there so many bizarre things that we read about in the newspaper or watch in the evening news or catch glimpse of while we're surfing the internet? Well, in a nutshell, it's because of sin. But the good news of the gospel is that people can be freed not only from the penalty of sin, but can also be freed from the power that the power that sin has over an individual. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6 that we might be encouraged in this regard. Romans 6 in verses 3 to 6. the Apostle Paul talks about the implications of being united with Christ. And so he says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Guess what this means? It means that a person who puts their faith and trust in Jesus no longer has to live in the grips of sin. They now have the capacity to live for the glory of God. Here's how the NLT renders verses 6 and 7. Your old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We're no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. So if we think of being a Christian only in terms of having a reservation in heaven, as significant and important as that is, if that's all that we're thinking about, then we're missing out big time. Through our faith in Jesus, we can live in newness of life in the present. We can have victory over sin. Think about it. How is the war in the Ukraine being fought? Well, with tanks and missiles and bombs and drones and guns and so on and so forth. But the Bible, in speaking about the spiritual battle that we engage in, says what? It says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. That's 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. We have been given, if we're in Christ, we have been given spiritual resources. We have, for example, the Word of God available to us. When Jesus was tempted, what did he do? How did he respond? He said, it is written such and such. It is written thus and thus. We have prayer available to us. We can call upon the name which is above all names. We can call upon the name, the wonderful, matchless, powerful name of Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit living within us. The Holy Spirit was given to us, at least in part, that we might not be alone. But he will empower us and equip us to the extent that we submit to him or open our lives to him. So there's victory over death, victory over Satan, victory over sin. But let's move on and think now about victory over obstacles, or challenges, trials. What kind of challenges are you dealing with right now? What kind of difficulties are you facing? What are you concerned about this morning? Regardless of what it is, we have a word of encouragement from the Lord. Jesus said this in John 16. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, we may not experience persecution like some believers do, and many of them are experiencing that, different parts of the world. We may not be displaced like millions of refugees are. We may not be dealing with things, huge crises like famine, like a lot of people are. But we cannot escape the fact that life does bring with it a certain amount of difficulties or challenges or trials or obstacles. The good news, however, is that Jesus has overcome the world, and through him, you and I can have an inner peace. Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That was John 14, verse 27. I couldn't help, and in looking at our scripture this morning, of thinking back years ago at a time when things were unraveling a bit in the circumstances for Diane and I. A bit? A lot? Some of the stuff that had taken place was not so good. And we weren't sure what all was behind some of what was going on. Nor were we sure of what were going to be the long-term implications for us and what kind of changes it would mean. So it was a time of uncertainty. But I distinctly remember at one point there saying, you know, Diane, we should really be uptight about all this. What's wrong with us? Why aren't we? Well, and also I remember having conversation with my mother and sharing with her some of the stuff that was unfolding. And she listened, and finally she said, "Well, I guess if you're not all upset about this, then I shouldn't be either." Now, what was going on there? What was that moment of discovery? Like, aha. Why aren't we in a huge turmoil? I simply share that as a testimony unto the faithfulness of God in how, in at least in that particular situation, that point in time, that there was an inner peace in the midst of all of the stuff that was going on. Because the circumstances could have been very unsettling. And yet we had the sense that the Lord was with us and the Lord was at work. Jesus overcame the world, and because of that, followers of Jesus can be overcomers as well. So the Apostle Paul, in writing to the believers at Rome, put it like this. So I'm back to Romans again, this time chapter 8, verses 35, 6, and 7. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Now, the word conqueror, and it's my understanding that this is the only place in the scriptures where we find this word used in just in this way, but it means to gain a decisive victory. Some Bible commentators might refer to it as a being a super conqueror kind of thing. It's not that we are removed from our circumstances or that our circumstances suddenly change. Now, sometimes that might be the case because God is quite capable of doing that. And sometimes he may choose to do that as we come before him and seek him. Other times, however, being more than a conqueror is something that we experience while we are in the midst of the difficult situations, while we are dealing with the obstacles. The other morning I woke up pondering some things that were weighing me down a bit. And in my devotional, this year for my devotional, I'm using a Billy Graham devotional book, and it just happened that that day was really apropos for me, in that it was calling attention to the Apostle Paul's testimony when he said, "For when I am weak, then I am strong." It's a paradox in the Christian life, but Paul came to understand that and to recognize it, to recognize that when actually in his time of weakness, dealing with this thorn in the flesh and all this and that, that it was precisely at that time then that he experienced the power of God in a most significant way. Paul was experiencing the power of Christ in the midst of his infirmities, and as he trusted Christ to take over, God worked in a wonderful way. I think it's that way for us too, when we can say, "Lord, you're going to have to take care of this. You're going to have to take over. It's beyond me." Sometimes it's sort of a tough thing for us, isn't it? Because of our human nature. And yet, as we do, wow, it gives God an opportunity to manifest his presence, to bless us with his peace, and to work in a powerful way. So we come back to our text. We come back to our text here. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Victory in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for reminding us of things that we need so badly as we open the scriptures. Thank you, Lord, that you are there for us. You are there with us. You are there to help us. Lord, we come before you. Brothers and sisters, let's just have a moment of silence and think of what it is that you're up against and that you need to be overcoming. Why don't you just tell the Lord right now that you want to trust him by faith, allow him to work all that out, to take care of that. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for your faithfulness. We pray that you would bless in a special way those who just now called upon you. Continue to bring forth the things that are needful We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.